Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in Matthew chapter 6. We've all known the difficult choice between spending all of our money now on something we want or saving it up for something even better. This starts when we're kids. Mom or dad give us spending money, and we either blow it on junk and don't have what we need later or want, or we learn that good things come to those who wait. And if money burns a hole through our pocket, we'll end up less happy in the long run. And until we learn that lesson, it can be tough. In Matthew 6, Jesus talks about rewards in heaven. Some things are worth waiting for or saving up for. But the religious teachers were spending everything they had now. And we'll see what Jesus means in verse 1. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Well, there it is, or was. Gone, all gone. There could have been a reward from God for what you do, but you choose to blow it all on something now. Approval from other people. Like a kid blowing all their money in the candy shop instead of saving up for the toy they really wanted. And Jesus gives us some practical advice in verse 2. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I love how confident Jesus is that God sees everything. He sees every little thing we do in His name and says, the Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Have you ever had someone give you a gift and they don't want any recognition? They just do it because it's the right thing to do? That's the stuff that God loves, and that's what He does Himself. Jesus then says the same thing about prayer. Praying to be seen by others, like the religious hypocrites, they have received their reward in full. There we go again. Hypocrites, by the way, means false face and refers to actors who would wear masks to play the part of someone else. These people weren't even praying. They were playing a part, and they want your applause. And verse 7 must have gotten a chuckle from the crowd when Jesus said it. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. So, Jesus then goes on to give them an outline for prayer. And it's not about the length of prayer or the many words. It's about covering the basics. Jesus gives us the essentials of a good prayer in verse 9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Notice, the first part of this prayer is all about God, not you. It affirms God as a loving Father, and when you're asking for things, that's important. Then it praises His name. Hallowed means holy, set apart, unique. You're saying, there's no one like you, God. So you've already worshipped Him out the gate. And if this is just an outline, then you can spend more time worshipping Him. Just ease back and enjoy time in His presence. Then, your kingdom come, not mine. Your will be done, not mine. This is good stuff. In verse 11, the focus finally shifts to our needs. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This amazing outline Jesus gives us covers our needs, physical, social, and spiritual. And somehow they all seem interconnected here. But He gives one admonition. Forgiving others is crucial when you have been forgiven. It's not a choice. Verse 14, for if you forgive people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Some people have a hard time with this verse, but Jesus is again telling us that people who have been made righteous will act righteously. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Remember? Then, in verse 19, Jesus gives a final motivation to save up for eternity, to focus on what God thinks rather than blowing it all on people's opinions here. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Storing up means living for God, the one who sees everything in secret, and awaiting that future reward that we heard about in the Beatitudes. Then, in verse 24, Jesus tells us, you can only serve one master. If your eyes are fixed on God, then you won't worry about other people's approval. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. Some people talk about money here, and some translators translate it that way. But mammon was the god of success. And if mammon was on your team, it meant that other people thought you were doing well. But Jesus knows that we think about success and our needs and our money. We live in the here and now, after all, in the real world. Baby needs a new pair of shoes. What do I do when others in the rat race around me are pushing ahead and making a ton of money, when it seems like I'm not? I give some of my money away as a Christian. The bill stacks sometimes get higher while the money stack gets lower. Jesus speaks to those that are trusting God for their future, to trust Him in the present. Verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. Skip to verse 32. For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day brings enough trouble of its own. Jesus said that our needs should not dictate our focus. Focus on God like I've been telling you, He says. Seek first His kingdom. You'll be a trillionaire in heaven, but still have what you need on earth. So my friend, I'd ask you today, where's your treasure? But actually, each of us must ask ourselves. Can you do that together with me today? Ask yourself as I ask myself. Am I looking more to please people than I am to please God? Am I saving up for heaven, content that there's a future reward? Or am I blowing it all here on earth, striving for other people's opinions and waiting for their reward of personal and public human approval? If I am, what a waste. But if not, then I'm saving up for eternity, and eternity is worth the wait.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.